What does success mean to you? Money? Power? Fame? Having everything money can buy? Does it mean having a job or career that you love? A great family life? Or simply to be happy? If you are still searching for answers, then join us now for Primetime Success Radio, where Alan Skidmore and his special guests will discuss health, finances, relationships, being in business, and how you can have a life that is not only successful, but a life of meaning. Alan has been studying success principles for over 25 years through reading, attending seminars, interviewing successful people, and a daily lesson from the School of Hard Knocks. And now he wants to share that information with you. So join Alan Skidmore on Primetime Success Radio as he takes you on a journey of finding the heart of your success.
Hello and welcome to Primetime Success Radio. I'm your host this evening, Alan Skidmore, and I want to thank you so much for joining us on this somewhat weird cold January day. We are 2 weeks in to 2014. Today is January 15th. We've already got 2 weeks behind us, and I've got to admit, 2014 has started off to be a little bit weird this year, so I'm kind of interested to see how the rest of the year is going to go. Just to start off, I had a birthday right at the first of the year. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I will admit that when I was born, television was in black and white, and we could only get three channels. It was definitely not HD, so I'll leave it at that. Last week, we had a really bad cold snap that came through, covered most of the eastern part of the United States. It got down to 3 below zero here in West Virginia, and it was just plain cold. I was ready to pack up and move to California right away, but I haven't done that. I'm going to do that next week. But had a really good week anyway. It warmed back up. It was just a couple of days, but it was just really, really cold. And then it got even weirder. Last Thursday, we had a chemical leak in Charleston, which had this chemical that was used in coal processing leak into the Elk River. And it caused a big ruckus because it leaked into the river, got into the water system that covered about 9 counties in Charleston and surrounding areas, and put about 300,000 people without water for nearly a week. And to be honest with you, it has been very, very interesting and a strange situation because of it's just an unusual situation. We just don't normally run into this. We've had some natural disasters around here, but this one was a bit odd. And universities closed, all the schools closed, and all the counties around here, restaurants closed, businesses closed because they simply could not use the water. Now, thankfully, the chemical that was spilled was not a really nasty thing. It was more kind of a soapy type cleaning agent. So it wasn't a huge, huge, you know, issue, but it was still a mess and created a lot of ruckus. And but people have come through it. We're starting to get back in the groove again. It was kind of interesting to me as I had people from all over the country calling me because it's been in the news. It's been like the second lead-in story on national news, and I've had people from California, people from New York, and all over calling wanting to know what's going on. Am I okay, and what's the problem? And it was kind of interesting. One guy told me, he said, man, he said, I had this envision that you jump into get in the shower and your feet melt off or something. I said, no. I said, it wasn't quite that bad. I said, it's just been a serious inconvenience for a lot of people. But for the most part, it's been okay. So we're getting back to normal and it's all been good. But I see that the year is going to be just a great year. It's been a very productive week over the past few weeks, a couple of weeks this year, just a lot of good things going on. And I just really see 2014 as being a great year. On the drive home this evening, I happened to notice that there is an absolutely gorgeous full moon out tonight with Jupiter shining brightly just above it. So if you get a chance, go outside, look in the eastern sky, and check out the moon and Jupiter. It's just really, really pretty tonight. Well, tonight I've got a guest this evening that was introduced to me by one of the guys I work with, Mr. Matt Wood, and he suggested this lady that I talked to her, interview her on the show, and I've talked with her on the phone a couple of times, and we've hit it off and got some really good things going on there. But what's interesting is she is my first local West Virginia guest. Over the past year, I have interviewed a lot of people from California, from New York, from Texas, from Canada, from British Columbia, up in Ontario, and I think I had somebody from Arizona, but and Oregon last week. The guy was from Oregon last week. So I've had people from all over the country, but this is my first local guest, and I'm real excited to have her on here tonight. Well, tonight my guest is Miss Deb Austin Brown. And Deb considers herself an architect and builder of human potential. It is her most important work. She is a teacher, an author, and a motivational speaker who travels the country sharing character messages, wisdom, and success strategies with schools, businesses, and communities. Deb is the author of 5 books about character development, including The Success Strategies, 99 Timeless Strategies for Life's Journey. She is the founder and director of the Success Club, active in 3 schools in her hometown of St. Albans, West Virginia, which is right down the road from me, engaging elementary, middle, and high school students. The club motto is Dream Big, Work Hard. The goal is to produce smart and good kids who reach more of their potential and who make a difference in their world. Deb's character lessons and success strategies change things in a community because they change people. I really like that. Deb, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Alan. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you very much for being on here. I really appreciate this. And you're the special. You're the first local guest, West Virginia guest that I've had on the show. And I really thank you for being on here. But I tell you what, I'm really impressed with some of the stuff you've done. You give me a copy of your book, The 99 Success Strategies. Just some amazing stuff in there. And you've got some other ones which I'm going to get a hold of. But I really like this book. It was not a lot of my friends talk about writing small books, but yours is actually over 200 pages. When I got this, I'm like, holy cow, this is like a workbook. There's a lot of stuff in here, but it is all really, really good stuff. And before we get into that, though, I want to back up a little bit, and I want you to tell us a little bit. I know I didn't give you an introduction, but that's just kind of the professional end of it. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started or got interested in personal development, and how did you develop that? And give us a little bit of your background, because, us folks from West Virginia are usually not known for this kind of thing. So give us a little bit of background on that.
Well, it's really nice of you to ask me to be on, and thanks to Matt Wood for his recommendation. And sometimes you can find a guest for your radio show in your own backyard.
Right.
So anyway, when I was growing up, Alan, even in elementary school as a child, I noticed people, and I noticed the difference in people. I noticed people who were simply average, and I noticed that some people were really successful, and I was always intrigued by it. And so I kind of became a student of life. And I always watched and listened. And then I was really interested in history, so I always studied the great thinkers and leaders from the past. And so I spent my childhood reading biographies of Christopher Columbus. Was one of the first ones I read. I was so intrigued by his risk-taking. And mm-hmm. then Abraham Lincoln for his respect for others. But I didn't just read the books. I took notes. In the days wow. even before highlighters, I would mark up the books, star okay. things, circle them, you know, all those things. And then that was how I learned the strategy, take good notes and live by them. I have in my attic, and my kids, my 2 sons, Aaron and Ben, are going to kill me when I die because they're going to have to clean out that attic. But I have shelves of hundreds of composition books from when I was a kid, through
really?
High school, through college, my adult years. One time I stacked them up, they're taller than I am, and I'm 5'9". And I've just collected quotes from the world's great thinkers and leaders. And as I read about their stories, I would glean their strategies for success. And so I would write them down and then use them in my life. So that big book of 240 pages or whatever it is that you were talking about, that's 4 years of my life, because that's how long it took me to write that book. I had so much material, it could have been bigger, but it was just too expensive to publish, and then who wants to carry around a 5-pound book?
Right, right. Well, let me ask you, you talked about biographies and stuff, and I've read quite a few biographies, and it's It's interesting because do you think that things are a little bit different in the old days versus now, where we've got all this information today? Versus, I remember that reading that back in the turn of the century, around the, you know, the early 1900s, that a lot of the books in those days were more on personal development, about character, about you know, I guess what we would call personal development today. But we do you think it was different in those days versus now, reading your biographies? Did people have a different outlook, or was it just a different time? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I remember my great-grandmother, Ma Great, and I wrote about her in my very first book. She was a great dispenser of wisdom and told wonderful stories from her rocking chair. She had wonderful books in her home, and they were about character and personal development, and I would always jump into those books and read. And, of course, there were no computers, you know, when I was growing up, and so I had to go to the library and check out books. And right. I never, as a child, would read fiction because I felt like there was so much to learn from the nonfiction books. And life mm-hmm. wasn't, you know, going to be long enough for me to read both. So still to this day, I don't read fiction. I'm kind of boring in that way. But I do believe that we're kind of going back to those times when character was important and people searched for meaning and purpose in their life. And I think that that's how you lead a rich and happy life, is to go back to the basics. And so just taking those books and those opportunities got me started. But then now it's so easy to find the information. You can get online and access information. And I want to point out to the listeners that I was really wrong as a child to think that all the great thinkers and leaders were dead presidents and people from the past. There are wonderful leaders and thinkers who live right here today among us.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
so we have to search them out.
That's true. I've had and I know you've traveled some too. I've had the opportunity to go to a lot of seminars and actually sit down and talk with some of these folks. And there's some great thinkers out there that have carried some of this old philosophy into the new stuff, where people, you know, can share it with the newer audiences today. And just some really, really good material out there. Well, we're coming up on our first break already. This is Alan Skidmore with Primetime Success Radio. My guest this evening, Ms. Deb Austin Brown. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
This is the Primetime Success Radio Show. Alan Skidmore has searched from the hills of West Virginia to the shores of Australia to discover what makes people successful in business and life. Please stay with us as Alan shares more ideas and information on the Primetime Success Show on the Rockstar Radio Network right after these. Success mean to you? Money? Power? Fame? Having everything money can buy? Does it mean having a job or career that you love? A great family life? Or simply to be happy? If you're still searching for answers, then join us each Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for Primetime Success Radio, where Alan Skidmore and his special guests will discuss health, finances, relationships, being in business, and how you can have a life that is not only successful, but a life of meaning. Alan has been studying success principles for over 25 years through reading, attending seminars, interviewing successful people, and a daily lesson from the School of Hard Knocks. And now he wants to share that information with you. So join Alan Skidmore on Primetime Success Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Rockstar Radio Network, as he takes you on a journey of finding the heart of your success.
In today's business world, you have to be LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's a great tool. And Carol McManus is the LinkedIn Lady. Join us for the LinkedIn Lady Show every weekday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Carol is here to show you and your business how every social media site has a specific demographic, personality, and purpose that can benefit you. In each show, the LinkedIn Lady will have a variety of guests, such as business owners who will showcase their businesses and talk about how they're using social media to stay in touch with not only customers, but to attract new relationships that become customers. Other guests will be experts in social media who will speak to the use of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Plaxo, Squidoo, and of course, LinkedIn. For more on Carol and the show, check out her website, LinkedInLady.com. Join us for the LinkedIn Lady Show with your host, Carol McManus, every weekday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to Primetime Success Radio, teaching you ideas and philosophies to be more successful in all areas of your life. Now here's your host, Alan Skidmore.
Hello and welcome back to Primetime Success Radio. I'm Alan Skidmore. My guest this evening is Miss Deb Austin Brown, and we've been talking about success and goals and some things like that. We're going to get into that a little bit more this evening. For those of you listening live, if you've got a question for Deb, feel free to call in. Our toll-free number is 1-866-404-6519. Well, now, Deb, right in the first segment, you talked about taking notes when you read a book. Very few people that I know do this. There's actually a book out, and I don't remember the name of the author. I'm going to say George Clason, but I don't think that's right, that he actually wrote a book on how to read a book. And some of the stuff he talks about was taking notes and highlighting and how to skim through a book and so on and so forth. But I like the idea of what you talked about of taking notes. And you said you've got a stack of composition books, literally almost 6 feet high, that you've got all these notes in from over these years. Well, now, when you wrote all these things over the years, do you consider that just simply note taking? Would you consider that keeping a journal? How would you label that, so to speak? And have you got any recommendations for people? Because I know that I take a lot of notes, but I'm not as good about journaling as I would like to be.
Well, Alan, that's a really good question, because I started out taking notes, and I would always put the date of, you know, today's date on the paper, and then write down the quote or the idea that came to me, and always tell what state I was in or maybe a place I was in. And then as you collect all of those things, when you look back on it, it is a journal of your life. It is my life written down one fragment at a time. And I just remember one of my favorite times was at a beach cafe in Surfside Beach, South Carolina, on a lazy afternoon in the fall when nobody was around. And I felt that I could sit at the table and drink a lot of sweet tea and write. And my notebook was full. And so I asked the waitress if she had anything I could write on. She brought me a roll of paper towels. And so much of two chapters in my fifth book, More Lessons from the Beach Chair, was written on those paper towels. And I wouldn't take anything for that. You know, and I've got five big Rubbermaid or Tupperware kind of tubs in my attic that has all of my notes from every book I've written. And as I said, Aaron and Ben are going to kill me when I'm gone, but I can't get rid of that. That is the story of my life, you know, written down. And so it does end up being kind of a journal, and it's nice to look back. But if you, research says that if you have an idea or something comes to you, to put it in writing before 11 minutes tick off the clock, because after that 11 minutes, the chances of you remembering that idea are very, very slim. And it's not because your memory is not sharp. It's because other things start happening and the idea just gets lost. So I've always taken advantage of that note-taking.
Now, that's the first time I've heard that of 11 minutes before it disappears. I've never heard a number put to it before like that. And I remember hearing in the past that the dullest pencil was better than the sharpest memory, because you're right. As soon as you have that thought, you need to write it down. Otherwise, it disappears and it's gone. And I remember so many times of things that's come to me that I thought, oh, I need to write that down, and I don't, and I cannot recall what those ideas are. And some people say, well, God, the universe, however you want to term that, you know, will give you these ideas, and you need to act on them or do something with them. And if you don't, then they're gone, and they may go somewhere else. Now, however you want to, you know, look at that. But it's interesting. My dad keeps kind of a journal. I've never read any of these, never seen them, but Mom tells me he writes stuff down every day, and he can go back, you know, years in the past and say, well, you know, this happened on this day or something else. Now, what's interesting, my oldest son, Justin, he seems to have a photographic memory about stuff. He can tell us on what date we have done something or gone somewhere. And I'm like, I don't know how you do that. That's just really, really cool. But I really like the idea of writing the notes down. And because you're right, you go back and I, as I told you during the break, I found some notes from stuff I wrote 10 years ago in 2004 about some things I wanted to do. And thankfully, I accomplished most of them, not all of them, but a good portion of them. And I think there is a big key about writing stuff down. So like that idea real well. Now, you talked about collecting quotes. Any particular, say, a couple that come to mind that are some of your favorites that you've learned from, you know, from your readings?
Well, one of my favorites is by Aristotle. I read a lot of Aristotle while other people are reading their fiction books. Aristotle said the only way to be happy is to be good, and so which is a great endorsement for character development. And so he's really true, and I try to teach kids that, and their parents too, as a teacher, because, you know, there's kind of a difference in the culture of American families and families around the world. And if you ask American parents what they want for their kids in life, they usually will say, I just want my kids to be happy. Well, Aaron and Ben Brown have never had that kind of a mom, because Deb, their mom, always wanted them to be good. And so that was my main goal in raising my two sons, is to be good. And then the great thing is, happiness naturally follows. And so that's one of my favorite quotes. Another one by Aristotle is, where your talents and the needs of the world cross, lies your calling. And my great-grandmother and my grandparents and my parents always let me believe that I was in the world for a reason. And so I always had that sense of meaning, purpose, and passion. And it drives you. And then all of those quotes become your true north and your, like a compass, and they guide you. And so I just think that that's why my life has been so rich. And I'm not talking financially, I'm talking rewarding. You know, John C. Maxwell has written so many wonderful books. I'm sure you've read some of his.
Yes.
And he says that there are two important days in your life. The first one is the day you were born. And the second important day of your life is the day you discover why.
Correct.
And so I think that my life, the purpose is to learn all these character messages, wisdom, and success strategies, and then teach them to other people.
I think that's good. The purpose, passion, and finding your compass. I know that Stephen Covey, he used a lot of that, you know, which way was north for you, and finding the right direction with that. Well, let me ask you this. With you being a teacher, and did you teach in all levels of school or mainly high school? What did you focus on, or what were your main time in the schools?
I taught always in elementary, so I've taught everything from kindergarten through sixth grade.
Okay. Your last 6 years were what?
I got to be the communications teacher for our elementary school, so I had all 400 students in K through 6, and I got to teach them writing, but to weave the character and success strategies into that. So it was a real, those were my best years.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, now let me ask you, see, and I don't know how to say this, and I don't want this to come out wrong, but do you see, do you think that the school system and or instructions, the way things are going, do you think that most curriculums leave this kind of stuff out with character and the purpose thing, and we focus a lot on the reading, writing, arithmetic, which I do believe that we have to have, but yet, do you think that some of this stuff is left out Do you think it should be maybe a school thing, or should it be a more of a home-based thing? And do you think maybe we've lost a lot of that just in homes in general?
We have to have it taught everywhere. It needs to be consistently in community activities such as scouting or whatever, churches, mm-hmm. homes, schools. We all have to do that for our kids. We all need to teach kids that. And that was my third book, was called Growing Character, and it's 99 Strategies for Weaving Curriculum with Character. And so it's just really an important thing, and it doesn't cost any money to do. It just takes an awareness, and then you go from incidental learning to intentional learning of the character message. And I know one year I was teaching in a school that had, it was my first year there, and I was teaching sixth grade, and test scores had been traditionally low with this school. And this particular class, these same kids had been together for several years, and the class average was 23% on the West test, the standard West test. It wasn't called the West test then. And by using all of those success strategies and teaching that intentional character message every day woven in with the curriculum, by the end of the year, when the principal brought me in to show me the test scores, we had jumped from 23% as the class average to 76%. And the schools, it's unfortunate that the schools are under so much pressure to perform, you know, well on those tests that they forget about this. And that's why anytime a school is interested, I give them a book. I've given out hundreds of those books to try to help. That's the way, that's the ticket to good test scores, because kids become invested in their own education. They become self-directed learners. They can't become responsible, and they dream big and they work hard.
Wow, that's a big jump from 23 to 76. And do you think a lot of that has to do with because the kids have kind of found a better purpose or something and more reason for their studies maybe?
Well, that's true, and they had a teacher who believed in them and taught them the strategies. You know, I had a kid come up to me probably 15 years ago. His name was Brennan, and he changed my life when he said to me, "Miss Brown, I love how you don't tell me the answers. You just give me the strategies to find the answers for myself."
That's what great
teachers do.
Coming up on our second break, we're talking to Deb Austin Brown. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
This is the Primetime Success Radio Show. Alan Skidmore has searched from the hills of West Virginia to the shores of Australia to discover what makes people successful in business and life. Please stay with us as Alan shares more ideas and information on the Primetime Success Show on the Rockstar Radio Network right after these.
Smart Health with your host, Dr. Glenn Mia. Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Smart Health is a one-hour program dedicated to discussions, interviews, and news in the ever-changing world of medicine. Information leads to smart choices, and smart choices lead to a healthier lifestyle. That's the quote of host and broadcast journalist Dr. Glenn Mia, M.D. This magazine-style radio show is a fast-paced program bringing together medical experts, authors, and patients to examine what works and what doesn't in staying healthy. Dr. Glenn Mia is a board-certified physician in pediatrics and internal medicine. His philosophy to wellness starts with an investment. He says proper nutrition, rest, and exercise are the best personal investments to maintaining good health. So join us for Smart Health with Dr. Glenn Mia, Fridays at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you could live your life truly standing in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, wouldn't that make your heart soar? Now you can, with Lessons in Joyful Living, with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Kimberly Rinaldi, having created a highly successful coaching practice, now teaches lessons in joyful living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers, thus allowing you to reach your greatest potential and joyfully step into your life's purpose. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now teach you in a matter of hours with her programs. For more on Kim and her show, go to our website, KimberlyRinaldi.com. That's RINALDI.com. Then join us for Lessons in Joyful Living with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central, here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back to Primetime Success Radio, teaching you ideas and philosophies to be more successful in all areas of your life. Now here's your host, Alan Skidmore.
Welcome back to Primetime Success Radio. I'm Alan Skidmore. I've been talking to Deb Austin Brown, who is an elementary school teacher who's written several books. And one of the things she's done is tried to pass on success strategies to the younger generation. And I know that it's evolved over the years of, and she's had some kids come back to her that, you know, and tell her all these good things. And we think a lot of times that our kids are not really paying attention to us, but they're always listening. They're always watching and they see. With our own character and what we display in front of public and also at home, because they see us at home. But one of the things we talked about earlier that I wanted to mention, and I just thought this was really cool because it's something that I've done over the years and kind of did something a little different this year, was talking about goals and writing things down. And Deb talked about all these notebooks that she's created over the years of different notes and kind of a journal, but yet just notes and ideas that's been put down on paper. And one of these days, you know, she's concerned about her kids, you know, have to deal with that when she's gone. But realistically, those may be more valuable than anything else that she leaves from a financial or otherwise because of the thoughts and ideas and character that can be carried on with that as well. But one of the things I did this year was a little bit different. I've always written down goals and what I want to do, and I've found some serious power in writing things down. And I'm not talking about typing it into a computer. For some reason, typing to the computer does not carry the same magic, I'll call it that, as actually writing it down with paper, pen and paper, of writing what you want down. And one of the things I did this year is I had the boys and the family to write down what they accomplished last year, what they were proud of that they accomplished last year. And then I had them write down some goals for this coming year. And I did not look at them. I said, put them in an envelope, seal them up. And I said, I'm going to put them away. And I said, at the first of next year, I'm going to give these back to you. And I want you to open them up and see what happened and see if you actually accomplished those things or if things changed. And sometimes your goals change because, you know, you've wanted something else. But I think that is just a wonderful idea. And again, being the first of the year of January, to sit down and get a little quiet and just take some time and think, what would you like to accomplish this year? Because writing it down, even if you don't look at it again, there's some power in that that can, you know, move you forward to some of these goals that you hadn't really thought of before. So, Deb, have you done that, I guess, maybe? Something like that?
Goal setting is just key. Harvard and Stanford research on goal setting, Alan, is really powerful. 10% of people don't have goals. They just go through their day, go to work, come home, have dinner, read the newspaper, watch a little TV, go to bed. With little thought about what they want in life. The research says that 10% of people have goals, but 3% of people write them down. And those 3% achieve 50 to 100 times more than the 10% who merely think about their goals. It's powerful research. And I keep mine long-term and short-term goals written down, and I look at them every single day. Now, you might want to collect them in an envelope for your family, but have your sons, you know, write it down and look at it. They can put it, you mm-hmm. know, somewhere that they'll see it every day, on their desk, on the bathroom mirror, wherever it may be. But that mm-hmm. is powerful, and I teach that to my students. And each 9 weeks, I always do goal-setting sessions with every student at our elementary school. And so those are powerful things.
That's a really good idea. There was one of the guys that I listened to, I had a chance to meet him several years ago, was Bob Proctor. And one of the things he taught was a goal card, as he called it, is basically take a piece of paper or a little index card about and cut it out the size of a business card and write down your top 3, 5, or 10 goals that you'd like to accomplish and look at that every day. And there's, you know, there's some power in that because it keeps what they call top of mind awareness, that this is always in the forefront of your mind. And it always kind of helps promote and I guess, encourage you to continue on with these goals, especially because we're always going to run into life issues, life problems, speed bumps, things get in the way, life happens, as they call it. And just keeping that in front of you says, oh, yeah, I need to work on that. Yeah, I need to think about this some more. And yes, I need to. And so you just move forward with that. And it's very motivational. I really, really like that. So I want to ask you a question here. Now, I call this my show Primetime Success partly because of the time. And I just always like success stuff, personal development, so on. But let me ask you, what does success definition, I guess, mean to you?
Well, to me, Alan, true success has absolutely nothing to do with money. But it has everything to do with fulfilling your potential in life. And then the money naturally follows as you get good at what you're doing.
Right.
I just think that, you know, and what I teach the kids in class and then with our success clubs is that our goal is to be smart and good and productive and then to give back to make the world a better place. So that's what success means to me.
Okay. Be smart, be good, be productive, and give back.
And I found out that when kids grow up, oh, I'm sorry.
You're doing fine.
When kids grow up with a purpose in life by, you know, wanting to be smart and good and productive, they don't easily get pulled into a life of drugs or alcohol or violence or bullying or crime. They just naturally have that compass. And another thing I've done when I was a classroom teacher was to have kids, even as young as kindergarten, all the way up through sixth grade, write down a character quote every day in a journal, and then they all had one of those composition books to take home with them at the end of the school year. And I've had kids from 25 years ago come back with their character journals. You know, I taught them in, you know, kindergarten, and they came back to me as an adult, you know, going into college, and they've got that character journal in their hand. And it's a wonderful thing, you know. I'm getting a little choked up about it. I'm a crybaby at heart. All my students know that. But it's a powerful tool in helping kids have a compass. It's direction. It's guidance. And it's not for one school year. It's for life.
Oh, I agree. It's an ongoing thing that, you know, people say, well, I'm, you know, excited about getting out of high school or even graduating college and everything. I'm like, and you know, it's been said before that when you graduate and go through the what they call commencement, it doesn't mean you're done. It means you're just starting on the new stuff. You're beginning. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, your learning never stops. You should always be reading or learning or listening to things or and you know, a lot of people watch television. That's okay, but you need to watch, you know, some good stuff and go to things. Go to concerts. Go to seminars. Go meet people. And some of the coolest things I've had happen in the past 4 years is I've been to California quite often, attending a lot of seminars. I've met some amazing people over the past few years. And it's just, you got to get out there. And it's been interesting because I've met a lot of celebrities. I've got some celebrity friends now, which I really enjoy. We get along really well. But people ask me, say, well, how do you meet these people? How's the country boy from West Virginia? I said, well, you got to go where they are. You got to get on an airplane. There's an airport on the top of the hill there in Charleston, and it flies to all over the world. And so, but you got to step up and do that. And a lot of people simply won't. And some people just can't, but most just won't. And it's just one of those things that's not bothering me. And I, you know, truthfully, if it wasn't for work and stuff, I'd probably be traveling somewhere. My brother hates to travel. I love it. You know, if I could have a reason, I'm going somewhere. So I just enjoy it. But just to go see the world. And you talked about different cultures. That's one of the things that was a very educational to me in the past few years. I've been to Australia, which is very similar to the U.S., but yet but different, and also spent some time in Africa. Now, you want to talk about a culture difference. You're going to see some things over there. But these kind of character principles, though, that you talk about apply everywhere in any culture, and you'll see them in all these cultures as well. It's just, you know, some differences of how people grew up and their you know, their geography and what they have to deal with. But all of these things is just, you know, good stuff. So anyway.
And the real and the really strong cultures are the ones that value character more. And you'll see that, you know. And so, you know, in the 90s, I think we valued character more than we do now in the United States. And yep. I think we're going backwards a little bit, and it's time to turn that around. You know, the old saying, no matter how far you've gone down a wrong road, turn back. And about right. meeting people, that is one of the things that has enriched my life so much. Charlie Tremendous Jones said,
oh, yes, I met Charlie.
And you know, and so you probably know the quote. You'll be the same yep. in 5 years except for right. two things, the yep. people you meet and the books you read.
Yes.
And
yes.
so it's really an important quote for people to not sit at home. You know, Larry Bird was my favorite athlete, and I used to plan my life around the Boston Celtics basketball schedule when he was playing. But he taught me that you don't sit on the bench of life and wait for things to happen. You have to get out there and set into motion the plays that you want to get the outcome that you're after. And so right. we can learn from just watching everybody.
Wow, that is good stuff. Good stuff. Well, we're getting close to our break again. Wow, this hour is just going by really fast. I had an opportunity to meet Charlie Tremendous Jones about 10 years ago at a Jim Rohn seminar and got to spend probably about 10 or 15 minutes with him, talking with him. I had my oldest son, Justin, with me, and he was a hoot. I mean, he was just out there. But he was, you could tell he was a good person, had a good heart at his core, and he was just you know, amazing to talk to. I really enjoyed talking with him. But that's a favorite quote that has stuck with me as well, that you will be the same person 5 years from now, except for the people you meet and the books you read. And I think that is a huge, huge thing there. Well, we've only got about a minute. I want to just carry on a couple of things. There's someone who has typed in a question for you, which I want to get to as soon as we come back. We're not going to have time to cover that right now, but we'll get that when we come back. But you feel the cultivating a good character is the most important thing, or do you think that is one of the most important things versus some of the others? And we've got about 45 seconds.
Alan, I lost you a little bit. I couldn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Oh. I'm sorry. Well, we've got about 30 seconds, and I want to get into a question here in just a minute. But we're talking about cultivating a good character, which I think is just amazing, and it should be the, you know, one of the biggest things that we do. We talk about money, we talk about all these other things, but one of the biggest things that we need to do is to teach a character and teach our kids about being good. And I really like what you said about being smart, good, and have a purpose that really keeps you out of trouble. We're with Primetime mm-hmm. Success Radio. I'm Alan Skidmore. We're talking to Deb Austin Brown. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Primetime Success Radio Show. Alan Skidmore has searched from the hills of West Virginia to the shores of Australia to discover what makes people successful in business and life. Please stay with us as Alan shares more ideas and information on the Primetime Success Show on the Rockstar Radio Network right after these.
Modern era, where do you turn for the best information? Right here. It's the Home Movie Legacy Project, hosted by Rhonda Vigent. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Learn how to organize, digitize, share on social media, use as genealogy research, repurpose, or even monetize found footage. Discover ways to find films about your own family that you didn't even know existed. Or create a documentary that can use the power of home movies to deliver a message that can impact the lives of many. For more on Rhonda and the show, go to our website, homemovielegacy.com. Then be here as the journey continues. with the Home Movie Legacy Project with Rhonda Vigent. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Tune in to DC Live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network for a fun and entertaining look into the music industry with your host, producer, songwriter, and musician, Don Cromwell. DC Live will feature interviews and live performances with an emphasis on connecting you, the fan, with the artists. Guests will include both established and new artists, as well as behind-the-scenes professionals. There'll also be live in-studio and phone interviews, plus music associated with featured artists and live performances on a regular basis, and a special segment of each show devoted to unknown musicians and bands. For more on Don, check out his website, doncromwellmusic.com. Ever wonder how the music business really works? What happens in a studio? And what goes into making a hit record? Then be here for the interviews, insights, and live performances. It's DC Live, hosted by producer, songwriter, and musician Don Cromwell, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Back to Primetime Success Radio with Alan Skidmore.
Welcome back to Primetime Success Radio. In the last segment here, I've been talking to Deb Austin Brown, who's the author of several books, including 99 Timeless Strategies for Life's Journey. And we just got on our chat line a question from Stacy. And I'll just read it here. It says, "Hello, Miss Brown. I had you for a teacher in kindergarten at Lakewood Elementary in 1995. You were one of my favorite teachers. I'm so glad to hear that you're doing well, and congratulations on all your success. I graduated from West Virginia University a few years ago, and I'm struggling with job searching." And she's asking, "Do you have any tips to keeping your head up and not getting down when you don't get the job?" And I know a lot of people with the economy that they're looking for jobs. You got anything to share with her about keeping your head up and keep moving on when things don't turn out quite the way you think?
Well, I'd just like to say, Stacy, it's good to hear from you. And it is discouraging. Rejection is hard and disappointment is hard to deal with. It's all part of life. But it is a journey, and you are going to get a job. Maybe not the one at the time that you think. Timing is everything. But I wanted to encourage Stacy to keep a positive attitude. And when you have free time, keep reading these positive, uplifting books, because something will come to you. I believe we get messages from the universe. We get little taps on the shoulder. And think of Thomas Edison, his 10,000 attempts to perfect his incandescent light bulb. Right. And he never gave up. He didn't even get discouraged. He just said, with each disappointment, he said, "I'm one step closer to getting it right." So with every rejection or with every negative response from a prospective employer, you're one step closer to getting that job that's meant for you. And surround yourself with positive people and friends that will encourage and uplift you. And every time you see yourself slipping down, you can even call me, and I'll take you out to lunch, and we'll talk. And you get ideas from other people, Alan. You know that.
Right.
And so people can be great encouragers for other people and can be very uplifting and help guide you on a path.
I agree.
So it will come.
Yes, I think you need to keep a positive attitude. Been through so much stuff myself. Everybody's been through difficulties, been through the job layoffs and stuff in the past. And I know that it can be disheartening when you, it's just frustrating sometimes when with things the way they are. Stacy, I'll give you a couple mentions just from my side. If you go back and listen to one of my shows back in November, I interviewed a gentleman named Dan Miller. And he has a company called 48 Days based out of Nashville. And he has a lot of materials about helping you find your right work and to help you set yourself apart from other job applicants. And he's got a lot of material there that's relatively inexpensive. It's called, and the website is 48days.com. Just type that into Google. You'll find it. Check that out. And I'm sure that there's some information there that can help you. And I really appreciate you listening tonight. Thank you very much. Well,
I add something for Stacy? Stacy, you've got to remember when I had to leave Lakewood Elementary. So 3 years after you were in my class, I lost my job there in 1998. And when I got the notification that we were down 30 kids in enrollment and I was the teacher with least seniority and had to leave, my world came crashing down. You talk about rejection, because you feel like those are your kids and your school and your classroom. And I thought my world was over. And it was hard. And I was asked to come to the State University of New York to speak at this luncheon in front of all these people. And I got a standing ovation, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, they love me in New York. Why can't I keep a job in West Virginia, you know? Mm-hmm. And after that, I went out and sat on a bench on the campus, and I had a pity party for about 5 minutes. I was feeling really down, and I didn't know where I was going to get a job, and I had two kids to feed, and I was a single mom. And I looked down, and I saw this little pebble on the sidewalk, and I picked up that rock. And I still have that rock today. I keep it with me all the time. From March 28, 1998, and I made a big X on the sidewalk there in New York. And I stood on that X, and I said out loud to myself, like I do when things are really important, Deb Brown, the rest of your life starts here. And with that, I put one foot in front of the other and walked off into an unknown future. And that's what Stacy's doing. She's walking off into an unknown future, but things will play out like they're supposed to. So believe in yourself and surround yourself with positive people.
I agree. That is good stuff. Amazing story there. Wow. Good stuff. Well, I want to ask you this, and we're coming close to the end here already. It's just this hour's went by way too fast. Now, you've written several books that we've talked about. But there's a lot of books out there. But let me ask you, with all these different personal development books on the market, and there's a bunch of them, and some of them have been around for years and years, and some are relatively new. Name some of your favorites there along that, and something that, you know, again, might help Stacy and some other folks that can be a little bit uplifting. Anything that you would recommend?
Well, one of the ones that I love and I've read several times is Maria Bartiromo's book, The 10 Laws of Enduring Success. I love that book because it's like reading the bios of scores of successful people. And it's written in such a warm and inviting way that you can hardly put it down. And, of course, my copy is all marked up and starred and, you know, highlighted. But she tells the stories of a lot of people who have been through what Stacy went through, is going through now with trying to find a job, and what I went through with losing a job. And it's a great book. So I'd recommend it. And one of my favorites by Dennis Waitley is The Double Win. I read it each summer on the beach and always cry at the end. It's a great book for, you know, getting along with other people and helping other people achieve their goals and dreams, too, while you do yours. So those are good books. And then, of course, Norman Vincent Peale and Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill. I mean, there's just so many. But that 10 Laws of Enduring Success really is a great way to get into the hearts and minds of a lot of different people. And then glean their success strategies and try it.
That's true. And you mentioned something that is kind of a similar quote to I've heard Zig Ziglar say for years, is say, if you help enough people get what they want, that you can get everything you want. Which goes back to, you know, helping others, and basically that can be spun into a whole lot of things that you can, if you can solve a problem for a lot of people, that, you know, that helps you get what you want. And again, we really haven't focused on money, but money does follow a lot of these things. If you can solve some really difficult problems, that can come from not only the financial rewards, but also just the character rewards and just knowing that you've helped a lot of people. It's like you talked earlier, is that, you know, here's this young lady that's had you in a class and she's reaching out and she still remembers you from way back. I still know some, a lot of my teachers are not around anymore from those early days, but, you know, still I've got some favorite teachers from back then, but these folks that have touched, you know, your lives. And I really think this is cool where you've reached all these students over these years. Do you have any idea how many students have went through your class that, you know, that are still remembering in the back of their mind? It may not be a conscious thought of some things that you've thought. Do you have any idea how many kids that maybe have went through your classroom over these years? You got any clue?
Yeah, I've kept count. It's been over 2,000.
Wow.
So I've taught over 2,000 kids in the St. Albans, West Virginia area. And, you know, I kept a class list, and now in the last 6 years where I taught everybody in the school that you're up the numbers, but 37 years of teaching. And I had a student come back. I hadn't seen him in 17 years, and he came back and walked in the door. And when I heard his voice, even though he looked different as an adult than he did when he was in kindergarten, when I heard his voice, I knew who he was. And I said, "Oh, Stephen, I remember when you were in kindergarten and you had 7 teeth missing at the same time. And I remember time that you glued your mom's flower pots on the windowsill so they wouldn't tip over and spill dirt where you were trying to be helpful." He couldn't believe that I remembered. But when you are a teacher, you fall in love with all of your kids, and they're your kids, and those you grow little umbilical cords, and you hook up with them, and it's a lifetime thing. You really care about how their lives turn out.
That is cool. That's amazing to remember that many years that's passed and come back. That's amazing to touch that many lives. And again, you think that we don't really accomplish much, and sometimes it's not obvious and we don't see it, but it does come back. You plant the right seeds and they grow up to do the right things. Well, Deb, we're coming up. We've got less than 2 minutes left. We've got 2 minutes before the end of the show, and I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you, your website. Tell us a quick thing about your other books, and I'll just let you kind of finish up here of anything else you'd like to add.
Okay. The website is 99successstrategies.com. And so you can find me there. And if you forget that, you can always Google Deb Austin Brown, and it'll point you in that direction. I keep my number in the phone book, so you can even go on whitepages.com, Deb Austin Brown, St. Albans, West Virginia, and find me. I've always given out my phone number to all my kids. I want them to be able to find me. And I'd like to leave a thought for all the listeners, that your ongoing personal development is the best gift that you can give to your family, your friends, your students, and your community, and your world, because we all need to leave the world a better place, and we need to leave the world something, whether it's a book, a painting, a song, an idea, or that you have wonderful children that you raise in the world. That's giving back to the world, so we need to do that. So your ongoing personal development is very important, and your character is the foundation for everything that you'll build in life.
I agree. That is a great ending with all that. As I tell people, don't die with your music in you, and what I call don't take your gifts to heaven. They were meant to be used here. Find out what they are and use them. Well, Deb, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for being my first local guest. Had a great time. Some great information. Folks, check out her website and get in touch with her. Thank you again for listening tonight. Please, everybody, stay safe. Have a good week, and we will talk to you next week. Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend.
This has been the Primetime Success Radio Show with Alan Skidmore here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern as Alan shares with you the tools, tips, and ideas that will help you become more successful in every area of your life. Thanks for listening.